Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever.
Well, hello and welcome back to Brave New Teaching. And friends, happy back to school season. Hi, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to season 6 of the podcast. We are moving into our arbitrarily created seasons of what we do here. And we're calling this season 6. We're starting a new school year. It's a new semester. It's just time. And we have a lot of new things going on over here. And we're just like, let's just call it a new season.
I mean, we also started this with like the idea of like the school theme in mind. And we live and breathe themes.
It's true.
So we're going kind of by semesters here. So this is our 6th semester of the podcast. So here we are. God,
but also what?
We almost have a master's degree.
Oh my gosh. We're going to hit 200 episodes in the relatively near future.
Right quick. Yes.
We've been spending a lot of time together.
We a lot. And you know what? It shows. Friends, for those of you who are members of Happy Hour, on the day that we are recording this, an episode of Happy Hour came out where we're talking about seeing students in the wild. And when I tell you that I was laughing out loud at myself and Amanda, like, and that my mom, who's like pretty, you know, like she's over some of my shenanigans by this point in our relationship. She texted me and said, I'm so lucky that I wasn't drinking coffee when I was listening because I would have spit it all over the place. And I was like, yeah, we still got it. But also listening, I was like, wow, we are niche. We are an acquired, no, we're not even an acquired taste. We are like, you either like get it and you're like, yep. Or you're like, I'm good.
Today's episode is not going to really surprise you then, because we're going to be tackling unpopular opinions and the sass is going to be unleashed. Because listen, you've probably heard about 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, do need some sassy opinions to help underscore your own, hopefully. So you can,
well, yeah.
If you can't talk back at school, you can feel
let's seen. Make sure that you feel heard here, you know, and let us. It is useful, some of these unpopular opinions, because rather than just saying, no, me, we actually have like suggestions to be productive on the other side of it, but also like, no, me, you know what I mean?
And let's say this too, because this is really exciting. Starting in season six, we have a whole new format of the podcast that we would love to kind of introduce to you to today. So you can kind of get the feel for it. If you've been with us for a long time, which first of all, we know a lot of you have, and we're so grateful for that because you told us in that survey. But this is going to feel a little bit different, but hopefully fun different.
We want to make sure we're packing as much value as possible. And so we're trying to be really intentional and mindful in the way that we're putting together. So it's as the theater teacher, the resident theater teacher of the podcast, I like to think of this in different acts. She's just shaking her head at me. The brow furrow coming from my friend Amanda is intense. But like we're kind of thinking of this in like three acts with little breaks in between. So when we're going to get started, I think that you'll be fine, guys. We just wanted to like make sure that you knew what was coming and you weren't like, what the hell?
So the acts, like our second act, which you're going to experience today, is something that's going to be, I think, really exciting for you all, because a lot of the ways that we want to run this is more involvement of our audience. We want to bring you into the podcast more often. So when you're listening, make sure that you are listening for any either URLs or directions that we're pointing you. You're checking out the show notes because we don't want you to miss opportunities to be involved in some of these new segments that we're going to be hosting and doing. We just want you to be all part of this family that we have started here.
Yeah. You know what it's time for? Cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show.
All right, friends, let's get into it. You want to dig in? Let's talk about some unpopular opinions about the back-to-school season. We talk a lot about back-to-school. We talk a lot about getting prepared. Because seriously, it's a big part of being a teacher. You do this every year. You do the full reset every year, at least once, if not multiple times. If you're like me, you do it. You have two first days of school in a school year because you get a whole new batch of kids halfway through. So like there's a lot. We've tread some ground and we're ready to talk about what we've learned, which like we got some hot takes. Let's do it.
Well, and for better or for worse, I think what makes back to school season so hard is that you've had the whole summer to recover. So you actually have thoughts in your mind.
you're a full person. I know.
And it's hard to sift through the malarkey and, you know, figure out like what's totally nonsense and what's, oh yeah, ship's moving forward. Right.
And then your fresh energy can kind of make things a little rosy. Was it last year that we talked about like August dreams, September realities, like one of my good friends at my school is like, it's her famous quote. And she's just spot on. She goes, but is this an August dream? Like whenever we get planning, is this an August dream? And I'm like, probably. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's okay. We can go out. Right. We can go after some of those,
but it does help us like come back to earth a little bit. Okay, Amanda, do you want to start with like? Should we just hit like a big one right out of the gate?
Yes, let's go.
Go. You do it.
No, you do it. Do your one about school in the summer.
Okay.
Because well, that's like chronological, I think.
Chronological is fine. Okay. I feel like this is not going to come as a shock to anybody who follows me at all on Instagram or the other things. But there is something, unpopular opinion, going to school during the summer is an extremely therapeutic and calming exercise.
I'm with you. I agree with this unpopular opinion. It's zen.
Yes, it's zen. I get the whole, it's your summer, make it your, like, I've had those moments too, where I'm like, I cannot even begin. I mean, the end of last season, I was like, Amanda, stop talking about back to school. I literally can't. It's barely June and I wasn't even out of school yet. I needed some time to reset. But if I take the entire 8 weeks to reset, there is no getting back into that game. Nice. There is something about, like, I'm a professional and this is a vocation more than it is a job, at least for me. And so going into the building, being on campus, not just my classroom, but other places on campus, qualms a lot. Is that the right use of that word?
I think you meant to say calms.
Sure. That's 100% what I meant. Of course it was. So glad that you caught that because I was testing you. So... But it like quells the storm within.
There we go.
That's what it was. Of just anxiety and the yucks. It's like the scariest of the Sunday scaries when you're going back.
I feel like I have this feeling about school. There's something that I've always loved about being in school when school's not in session, whether that's after school. Like I've loved when I was a coach, I loved being in the building past the bell. Like I really did like, there's something very calming and I don't know, it's part of you, right? So like to be there.
I was just going to say, you're part of it, right? Like it's just.
Itself. I don't know. Yes. Like I really love being dorks. In the hallways by myself or like with a small group of kids, you know, like we're walking back to the locker room after a game or, you know, in the summertime, you're there and just the one custodian down the hall. And I remember like setting up my room on my own terms at my own pace. Like I let my brain, you know, spiral into some kind of ridiculous hyper-focused task. And then other days I just kind of sat there and I was there. I don't know. I don't think that is even what other people would be upset about. I think it's feeling like your admin is setting meetings
or
there are like compulsive reasons to be there that are ridiculous. But no, I'm with you. I think being in that space and being in your space, your room, and just breathing in it without other people, I love it.
Well, and it's one thing, I mean, and I do get, because I've said this too, like, you don't have to work outside of your contract hours. Like, you don't have to do things.
No.
I guess what we're also getting at is, like, to us, this doesn't feel like work. So, like, do what's right for you. Like, do what's right for whatever is going to make you feel good in the moment and later on. For me, it's reacclimating myself and reacclimating my space and doing, like, part of my summer reset is also my school. Like, there's not two versions of me anymore. There used to be two different versions of me. Summer me, school me. And that was incredibly unhealthy for me. Like, it made it so I was running myself into the ground during the school year to a really bad extent. And I was doing nothing during the summer and getting super anxious and, like, kind of depressed, right? Like, it's those two ends of the spectrum are very unhealthy for your friend Marie. And I'm guessing for you as well, my friend.
Well, but I think mine's a different reason, though. My reason is I have a hard time. So this is part of, like, what I'm learning about, like, ADHD, right? I want to do dopamine things first, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, cleaning your room, organizing your room, coming up with a new system, coming up with a new whatever, that is a dopamine fix that I chase in the summer and I love. During the school year, there is no chance on God's green earth I want to stay after school with a new organization system, labeling. I can't even maintain a classroom library during the school year. Like, I feel calm creating systems in the summer that will last.
That will serve you. Yeah.
Cause then I'm leaving during contract hours rather than scrambling after contract hours because I didn't do anything during the summer. So that for me is, like, it's similar, but, like, I invest the time in the summer to get the time realistically back for myself during the school year.
Yeah. Well, and we do have, like, listeners and colleagues who are like, that is unrealistic for me and for my life. There is no way that I can do that, or I'm not allowed to go into the building, or, like, whatever, what have you. And that's okay. Do what you can within your own. Like, if you're not able to go into your building and label things, whatever, if that's your jam, it doesn't have to be your jam, but, like, for me, that is, then just draw it out so that when you actually do get to the point of, like, I'm going to organize things for myself so that teacher me in a month is ready to go, you know, like, do it while you're doing your 6-3 watch of Emily in Paris, like I am.
It's fine.
It's okay. It's don't feel guilty about wanting to do some work, because maybe it doesn't feel like work for you. Maybe it's just fun. Like, that's okay to be a big old dork, basically. Like, that's what we are. The water's fine. Come on in.
And if you're new to the podcast, you got to know that, like, Marie and I are here for you to, like, not only feel seen and heard, but also to feel completely and totally in control of your own teacher self, knowing yourself and knowing what lights you on fire, what drives you nuts. Like, part of surviving this job is knowing and anticipating those kinds of things.
Who you are. Yes.
That's really, I think, what we're getting at is, like, anticipate your needs and serve yourself, and then stand up when things are not in alignment. You need to speak up and you need to handle it. But if you're like us, we see you. We feel you.
We do.
Go
we
in.
Do.
Okay. Walk through the dark hallways.
Give us a hot take. Let's go. Yes.
Unpopular opinion. Get to know you activities are overrated. Or I should say icebreakers are overrated.
No, icebreakers are stupid. And getting to know you activities are overrated. If we're going to call this unpopular opinions, we need to stick to our guns, okay? Like, excuse me. Imagine that you are teaching claim writing right now, and a kid just backtracked the way that you did. You'd be like, nah, pick one, back it up with evidence, and then use your reasoning.
I think sometimes we use those interchangeably, which is why I threw that out there thinking, like, I was actually trying to clarify, but instead I complicated.
You did. You complicated your argument, and that weakened it.
Well, here's the deal. So the way that I've seen this done is really what the problem is, right? It's get to know you, XYZ is kind of collected over the summer, bunches of ideas, and I'm right. Hi. I do these things. I make these things. But there is an overabundance of get to know you activities available to anyone who's on the internet. And tossing them at your children willy-nilly is where really the problem lies, at least for me. Because yes, do you need to know who your students are? Yes. Should they start building community together? Yes. but will a bunch of randomly selected and then assigned activities do that job all by themselves? Creo que no. Did I just speak Spanish on the podcast?
Sí.
I did.
Oui, bien sûr.
That's where I'm at. I need to take a breath. You need to speak because I'm about to get all upset.
Well, because like, listen, well, some people are going to be like, Amanda, are you on something? Because okay. I just downloaded your getting to know you freebie,
yes,
right?
You did.
Because what we're getting at is everything that happens in your classroom, period, but especially in those first 5 days, needs to have some sort of intention behind it.
Yes.
And like when Amanda said willy-nilly, I don't think that any teachers are out there just like, oh, and then this, and then this, and then this. And sometimes if you are feeling a little willy-nilly, it's because, you know, you got 20 minutes in your classroom before the kids came in and that was all you had to set up or whatever. Like, I've definitely experienced these things. Just don't have to do all of it. Just pick one. Download all of them. Absolutely. Get your mind around it all and pick your favorite. And then next month, do the next one. And then the next month, do the next one. Like your SEL kind of stuff doesn't have to stop after the first week of school.
Ding, 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 ding.
It shouldn't stop after the first week of school. Take all the freebies, all the things that are coming at you for like back to school season, and then say to yourself, okay, what do I have time for this month? What do I have time for next quarter? And like mindfully place them out or say it could be this one or this one so that you could be like in the moment, I hate that one. I'm going to go to this one instead. That's fine. Right.
So let me describe a season of life that is like giving me like trauma flashbacks. Okay.
Because I'm here for this. Listen, safe space. Go.
Because I know you can relate to like your early. I feel like we're very much speaking to early career teachers in this moment. There was a season of my life where it was pressed upon us to spend days and days and days doing icebreakers, right? You did the trust falls, you did the whatever kinds of ridiculous things were like showing you at a PD the day before school started.
Right.
I'm trying to think about some other ones. Like,
no, it's like make your name into a song. And I'm like, you don't want me to sing.
There's a bunch of like minute to win it games. Like, okay, not even like the activities themselves are the problem, but there was like this huge push. And so I did for several days, icebreakers and get to know you activities. And we were just quote building classroom community. And I was doing that absent of mm-hmm. curriculum, absent of building up routines and expectations. So without getting on my soapbox about my three R's, which is there's episodes for that. I think that the isolated, if we isolate getting to know you as its own thing without those other components, it's a recipe for terrible behavior, really awkward situations that you have to get yourself out of. Like I can remember kids just being total asses during some of these games because mm-hmm. they're 15 and 16 and they don't want to do icebreakers, just like staff members don't want to do icebreakers at a staff meeting.
I was just going to say, because they're exhibiting the behaviors I was exhibiting in the pre-service days, like 2 days ago, that I was that a-hole sitting there. We just yesterday, I was at school. It's the middle of July right now. I was at school with our three assistant principals and a couple other teacher friends. And we're talking about PD for the year and like what it's going to look like and the first day back and blah, 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 blah. And I just said, hey, everybody, the suggestion you just made, I think is fantastic because it will keep people like me from being that kid. Like it will stop my behavior. Like we were talking about randomizing seating at the first like back to school meeting. I was like, this is a good idea because I hate it. Like it's making me uncomfortable thinking about having to sit in a random seat because I want to go where I'm comfortable, but I behave poorly when I go where I am comfortable at my school. I've been there too long. I know myself. Therefore, this is a good idea. Like that's,
well,
and it's organized. And it's intentional. Organized. And that's the same sort of a feeling that we want to bring into your classroom so that you as the teacher feel like you're on top of it.
I've got a couple of favorites, but like one I'm thinking of right now, I have this Canva activity where I have the kids create their 15-second life story. Mm-hmm. And so there's a template I have in Canva. Everyone gets the Canva template, but here's what makes it, I think, an effective get to know you activity. One, it requires an orientation in Google Classroom. Here's how you get assignments. This is where they come from. That's the first time I have them log into Canva, and we use Canva all year long. So I want them to know how to do that so I can teach these things. I then am showing them actually right off the gate how to make a video in Canva, how to do, like, so there's a how-to tech component. And then once they're all done, I also have the opportunity to show them how we're going to use Flipgrid or how we're going to use whatever the way is that we're going to share these with each other. I can check things off the list that I don't need to teach explicitly now because they've been baked into a get to know. So, right, it needs to serve more purposes than just get to know you. That's a good, and even the my marshmallow activity, kids think it's ridiculous to build marshmallow things, but they're learning like how I use a timer, right? The structure of my classroom. They're learning about when my, like, I call their attention back. So anyway, that is what I want everyone to know, is there has to be purpose. There has to be. If there's not, just be prepared for some shenanigans.
Well, and also be prepared for that back to school exhaustion to be like fivefold.
Yes.
because you're managing more. Yeah, you're just managing. And they're like kind of hard to do sometimes because you're like, I don't want to run another game. I just want you guys to write by yourselves.
Well, let's take a little break because I'm tired now. Let's.
Well, we got a little heated. Okay, friends, we're going to take a little break. We have something for you, and then we will be back with our other two unpopular opinions for the back-to-school season, and they're spicy. We'll be right back.
Today's Teacher Ask is brought to you by Happy Hour, the exclusive members-only after-school crew here at Brave New Teaching. Okay, so today on Teachers Ask, we're taking questions from listeners and sharing our thoughts on them. So I am responding to a question from one of our teacher listeners. Her name is Amy, and she lives and teaches in Salem, Oregon. Amy asked us this question. Hey, Amanda and Marie, I'm struggling to come up with ways to make reading longer articles in class less boring. How can I keep students engaged when the reading is longer than a close read, but shorter than a chapter? Okay, Amy, I thought this was a great question to start off with because I know that you are not alone. We get questions like this all the time. So let me jump in with one solution that would be easy to try like tomorrow. Okay, so the first part of my advice is that start this article the day before you want to teach it. So let's say that you're doing one of the articles that comes to mind that's exactly this length. There's a Malcolm Gladwell article that I used to teach called Offensive Play. And we use it in AP Lang, and we use it to talk about, well, all kinds of rhetorical strategies. But the article is very long. I want to say printed, it's somewhere between 6 and 7 pages. And I think this also happens with short stories that are not super short, but not super long. They're kind of that weird in-between length. A lot of Poe short stories are this length. And so when the story or the text is about that long, it would kind of take an entire class period to read the whole thing out loud. And I was always teaching on a 50-minute bell schedule. So between bell work and getting things going and then distributing the article, giving a little overview, and then reading it, it was almost an entire period of reading. And that was never something that settled with me very well. It never felt like at the end it was successful. So here are the tweaks I'm suggesting. So instead of assigning it the day that you want to do it, assign it the day before. So on Monday, we're going to do our regular lesson and we're going to wrap up that lesson, let's say like 75% of the way through your class period. With that remaining 25%, use that time to distribute the article, give a little background and overview, and even assign reading for homework. Yes, I'm saying it. Marie and I talk about this in the podcast. We do assign reading for homework, and the consistency of that expectation is really important. There's also ways to make it very approachable. I think it will be possible to have an audio version of that article potentially available, even if you recorded it yourself and shared it with students, asking them to read up to a certain number of paragraphs that seem reasonable. Either way, I think the ask and the getting the wheels moving is what's most important. I would not be approaching this from the standpoint of expecting 100% completion or comprehension of the entire article. I would be using this as a way to expose students to what we like to call a first read. A first read through is an attempt. It's a skim. It's getting the gist. And then we can dedicate the next day. So Tuesday, when kids come in, we can dedicate that time to really getting into the nitty gritty. So on Tuesday, what you can do is structure a lesson. For example, I think a jigsaw would be a perfect way to approach a longer article if you don't want to spend a ton of time on it. So if you've asked students to already do a first read, you know that they've got a cursory, at a glance understanding of what's going on in the article. That's great. Now, in your jigsaw, you can either jigsaw the article in parts, so you can break it up. You know, this group is doing page one, this group is doing page two, this group is doing page three, this group is doing page four. You can break it up by task or by item to look for, right? So this group is looking for all of the interview quotations, right? Like find all of the people who were interviewed in this article. Let's catalog who they are. The next group is looking at all of the section headings. They're looking at the structure. The next group is looking around. So you can kind of break it that way too, by something in the formatting or in the structure of the piece. Either way, once you've jigsawed it, then you can have groups be specialized in certain sections, teaching what they're specialized in to the other groups. And you're not spending the entire period reading aloud, pausing, talking about it. And while that can feel good to be on the same page and literally to be on the same page, it can make that quick-ish lesson last 2, 3, 4, 5 days if you let it get away from you. So my suggestion would be to use Jigsaw. It's one of my favorite strategies. I know it's a little bit on the old school radar, but Marie and I did an entire month's happy hour dedicated to Jigsaw. We have Jigsaw resources available. If you are not yet a happy hour member, you should jump over and check it out. Head over to bravenewteaching.com/HH members, and you can check out our previous month's special resources. You can get all the information you would need if you wanted to join Happy Hour. It is only $5 a month to be part of Happy Hour, and you will be receiving exclusive episodes just for you. They are extra. So not just the main podcast, you're getting an additional podcast. It's about one extra hour per month and teaching resources that go with that month. So we would love to have you over there. If you don't really want to join Happy Hour at the moment, but you think you could use a refresh on your jigsaw, you can also just purchase standalone resources if you need them. So that all, again, is going to be at bravenewteaching.com/HH members. And I wish you the best of luck, Amy. I hope that that's a good idea that gets you started thinking about different ways to approach longer readings so that they don't take over your entire week. Back to the show.
Friends, we're back. We have unpopular opinions for you, and they're going to come in hot. Are you? Yesterday, Amanda called me and I answered the phone. Hey, and she was like, wow, I'm bringing that energy right now. Yeah, she like, easy tiger. And I was like, I will not easy tiger.
She answered it like that. And then she said, I'll call you back. And I was like, what? Like,
why did you answer? I know.
Why did you answer? Why did you answer so hot to just like, leave
it's
me
a phone.
You hung up and I was just staring into space. Like, I don't even know how to wait for you.
Listen, I wanted you to know that you're a priority in my life. And also I couldn't talk to you right then.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it even more.
Coming in. Ha.
Okay. Two more takes.
Listen, people, the syllabus doesn't matter. Do it that way you will. No, the syllabus doesn't matter in so many ways. The syllabus is not something that you need to be reading in front of your class. We've talked about that before. But also, like, it's not something that needs to, like, sure, maybe it's a requirement of your school, blah, blah, blah. It's not something that needs to be signed and graded. Like,
oh my gosh.
Students need to understand the policies of the class in which they have found themselves. Absolutely. But, like, do they have to in such a artificial I don't know. I've wavered on this, but I am officially in the place of like, I don't know if I'm ever going to hand out a paper syllabus or send home a PDF ever again.
Nope.
It's 2023, people.
So, okay. So I'll come at you with a couple of things. So here are some things that a syllabus can help us with. I did a little Canva workshop, and I think doing a digital syllabus is number one, like a priority for everybody.
Yeah.
Because of like what Marie's describing, if there are school policies, handbook policies, like things that you need to be able to refer to in a scenario down the road, you want to have those very close at hand and easy to like share with a parent, be like, yeah, this was mm-hmm. the problem. This was, or with a student, whatever. The other thing I like about a syllabus or the potential that a syllabus has is to mitigate some, and we talked about this, I think last 2 years ago with our banned books series, having your class yes. set of texts laid out from the beginning is something that will save you emails later, right? Like we've talked about this before, but I think that if anything's going to be on your syllabus, it should be the books that you're going to read. And if you can talk, if you don't have a policy yet, think about this. Can you set up a policy where if there is an objection to a book on your list, or if there is a problem that a parent has with the selected reading list for the year, that they only have those first 2 weeks of school to make that objection. That is a really nice way to save your butt from wow. that parent phone call when you assign the book in December, but they've had the whole semester to, right?
It's also a great place to put your administrator's email address.
Amen.
And like phone extension. Right. Yes. So, okay. I mean, I think that it was a bit of a misnomer that the syllabus doesn't matter. But it matters. It just doesn't matter that much.
It just matters like what you have to remember what it's for.
Right. Right. I don't need
to be read out loud.
I don't need bathroom pass policy on my syllabus, frankly.
No.
Because it's something that can be posted in my classroom and can be, you know, communicated. And maybe this is something that we want to communicate to our parents, but in a different way. I don't know. I just think that the days of the traditional syllabus need to go away.
They do. And
they're archaic.
Part of what I like about switching to a digital syllabus is it forces you to be more visual, to break up all, like I remember like it being a badge of honor to have a 9-page syllabus where you spelled everything out. I can remember yeah. photocopying it.
Yeah.
But if you do make that switch to a digital syllabus, even if you do like to kind of have that just kind of, I don't know, it kind of can ground you in some ways, but it needs to be adjusted and abbreviated and dialed back to what's most important, lists, you know, things like that. And again, like put it into your stations activity, put it into mm-hmm. spread out the pieces that are important over a couple of days. Don't feel like you need to dump it all on kids. Cause if you think they're going to remember that when they actually have an issue, like that's hilarious.
Well, it's not doing much for you anyways, right? Yeah. Like it's not, yeah, not helpful.
Hot take.
Okay. We have one more.
What is it? I don't remember. What is it? Did you write it down?
Yes.
Oh, it's about grading, right?
No, it's about writing.
Oh, yeah. But it's also about grading.
It's also about grading, sure. But it's okay, listen, it's the beginning of the year. Yeah. Your students have just come in. You did not read a full syllabus to them. You instead met them at the door. They came in. They sat down. You had something for them to do on the first day. You introduced yourself for a moment. And then while they were doing the thing, you went around and you were like, hey, I'm insert name here. What is your name? And that's how you took attendance instead of standing, right? And then you have them do a writing sample and it all went to hell.
Boo.
Boo. Okay, listen.
Okay. We're being
there are some caveats to our, yeah, we're being really annoying. There are some caveats to our hot takes. But writing samples are overrated.
They're overrated.
At the very beginning.
Oh my gosh. I don't even think anyone ever forced me to do it, but I always thought like this was good English teacher practice was to collect a writing sample.
I have said recently on the podcast, and then you have a writing sample. Like I said that during Camp ENT about one of the things we were talking about. I did not mean in the first week of school. Yeah. Maybe I did, but like, I guess it's, listen, I'm now doing what I got on your case for at the beginning of the episode. It's not, don't do a writing sample. It's don't do an essay. It's don't, you don't need to do something that is like full blown, like really, no. You just want to figure out how to make something like a quote unquote writing sample actually gauge where students are at without feeling like a big assignment.
two notes on that. One, whatever you have them write is probably going to be crap. It's not even really going to be a sample. It's going to be a representation of everything that they forgot how to do over the summer.
Yes. Yes. And of their and of their utter bitterness that they're back and doing an assignment.
Well, and I think what the problem becomes is that's misinformation for you. Like if you're really truly wanting to know where your students are, I think you got to give them a minute to get going. Also, I always used to think this is going to be great for me to get to like, and I hate reading them after the third one. And I'm like, why did I think this was
right, this is terrible. I know.
I have two alternatives that I really like. One is my letter to teacher. I love it when my students write me a letter and tell me about themselves. That's a wonderful writing sample. That's not an essay. That's not anything. It lets me get to know them. They can share lots of things. And I realize everyone forgot how to do paragraphs. Fine. The second alternative, if you want a more academic approach, is throw them into seminar right away. I am telling you, I was so scared. I thought, man, these kids aren't going to do it. They're not going to do it. It's the fourth day of school. Why would they do a seminar? And then I'm like, oh, well, because I'm telling them to do it. But when I started doing my Socratic seminar, like I do a year-long essential questions seminar right out the gate, really, really fast. And I learned so much about my kids during those 2 days of seminar than I ever learned in a get-to-know-you activity or a writing sample ever. Mm-hmm. Ever.
I would so much rather see them. Okay, fine. Writing sample. Fine. I'd rather see something creative.
Love it.
Out of them instead of, and frankly, instead of a letter to me, because every year I'm like, email me. I read 10. I have 120 kids.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I get to them, but like I have all the intentions in the world of answering every single one. I just, the beginning of the year always is a crushing blow to my time. August, like it's just not going to happen. August dreams. Yes.
5 days later, nightmares.
And 5 days later, I'm like, what was I thinking? I want to see that. Or I want to see like an answer to a question. Like, boom, what do you think about this? Go. Mm-hmm. And then that's maybe the setup for our Socratic seminar, right? Like that's, yes, you could totally still do. Okay, fine. Listen, I've said a lot of things that I don't know if I completely mean in this episode.
But people, we have to clarify for people who don't know us, because if you know us, you know all the buts.
Yes. And you can feel hot takey sometimes, and that's okay. And then you can realize like, oh, actually, I'm a hypocrite. And it's fine also.
It's fine also. It's just, I think this is what it boils down to, right? People is do what serves you, number one. And number two, like you're allowed to think twice about what's always been done before. Like, it's okay to take a step back and be like, does this actually fulfill number one? Does this serve me? And what I'm trying to do here with my kids. So you might totally disagree with us, and that's fine. More power to you. Go crazy. But I just hope it serves you and you're following what's going to be. We just want you guys to be healthy, happy teachers that don't hate your job, because it's an awesome job. We love teaching. But sometimes we self-sabotage without realizing it because we're trying to do what we're supposed to do and not really thinking about it because it's hard.
Yeah. And listen, we have a few of the things that we have talked about today are going to be linked in the show notes. So make sure that you head there. And while you're on your device, we have an ask for you. Would you please give us a rating and a review on iTunes? Because that helps other people find this kind of bananas banter that goes back and forth. And feel seen? Or maybe it just makes you all feel better because you're like, well, at least I'm not them.
at least you're not us. I can serve that role. Is that what my life purpose is? Is to make
that's
people
fine.
Feel better
for
about themselves?
Some people, I think that that's fine. The other thing we wanted to tell you about is a little like happy hour preview, because happy hour is starting to hit its stride. We are starting to find, we are listening to what the people want. This month, we've got a new resource from, or next month, September, we have a resource that's coming from a guest contributor. So we are excited to hear that teacher talk about their resource on happy hour. And then the two of us will break it down in another happy hour of like how we will use that. Because, you know, when you hear from your same sources all the time, it starts to get a little like, so what's different here? And we start to get in our own heads. So we've called in some friends to come and help out and give some of their resources and their expertise. And we are excited to bring that to our happy hour listeners.
Yeah. And it's only $5 a month. You know, you'll get a resource every month. You get all the episodes that have ever existed. Just an extra hour of chit chat every month with us.
And who wouldn't want that? Right? So.
It actually retails at $400 a month. We're giving you a serious discount. So
it's like OnlyFans, but for teachers. So it's just in one place because we can't learn any more apps.
Okay. There we go.
No more apps.
There it is.
Did I say something weird?
I mean, that's the first time OnlyFans made it onto our podcast.
Yeah, I did say something weird. When Amanda crinkles her nose, I go, did I just say something weird? Sometimes I don't know. All right.
People just, you know, got to do what they got to do.
Okay. All right. Friends, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Have an amazing week at school. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching. We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here and have a great week at school.